welcome to Pep Talks with the Bitter Buddha, Eddie Pepitone. This week we have Matt Oswalt as our guest. Matt, as you know, is the creator of Pudding, the infamous internet web series that me and Matt did. You can follow Matt on Twitter at Puddin' Strip, and you spell that P-U-D-D-I-N-S-T-R-I-P. Pudding, spelled like a hick would spell it. Now, I'll be performing actually, in May, I'll be performing at Flappers. I'm preparing for my hour special, which will be in Brooklyn June 3rd and 4th. I think I've been saying 4th and 5th, but I think the dates have been changed to 3rd and 4th at the Bell House. And I'll be at Flappers on two separate weekends. So go to my website, eddiepepitone.com, and you can find ticket links to those shows. And now let's listen to me and Matt Oswalt. Okay, so my guest is, as I just told you, a bit of a devil-may-care sort. He is an insane man. As if you followed Pudding Strip, it was a foray into, I would say, darkness.
Keep going.
First of all, Matt, let's just say welcome.
First of all, did you just promote your Flappers comedy gig? Normally people promote, like, you know, amphitheaters, Gotham, like, you know,
did you just say
come see me at Flappers?
Isn't that a coffee shop
in Burbank?
No, it's not a coffee house. It's actually not a bad comedy club.
Yeah?
It's not a bad comedy club, Flappers. I was pleasantly surprised because I know what you're saying. Now, is it the – you haven't been there, right?
Is there like a potato skins minimum to get there? Is that actually
– Now, I should not – we should not be bad-mouthing Flappers since I'm performing there.
Are you going to be performing at any laundromats anytime soon? Any other,
Now, basically, this is Matt's defenses. He rears up trying to put me down.
Damn it! Two minutes in, he's already fucking got me. God damn it!
No, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
This is funny. I just think
the name is funny. Yeah. It kind of reeks. Flappers.
It reeks of 1987, brick wall.
Yes.
In like a Tulsa, Oklahoma comedy club. You know. That kind of, like the unknown comic doing a gig.
Yes, and I agree with you.
Being a waitress in a nearby Days Inn. Like, it's exactly what it's...
Oh, God. See what I mean, folks? That's... But, but I actually was pleasantly surprised with Flappers when I've done it. It's like, it's an interesting mix. It's like you do get...
Of what, Burbank and Glendale? That's the mix? what mix is there possibly?
No, but the crowds were not as bad as I thought. Like, I thought it would be very fucking, I don't know.
Is it a restaurant or is it like people sit in... It's like,
by the way, I love that you hate it without having... This is called contempt. Attempt without investigation. There's an actual term for that. And I do that too about things.
We'll be talking about all the Wes Anderson films that I fucking hate and have never seen later on in the show.
By the way, yeah. Speaking of Wes Anderson, I did go see...
Budapest.
Is it called Hotel Budapest?
Hotel Budapest something.
Whatever it was, it was such a pretentious piece of shit.
You think?
Well, is he known? Everybody – here's the thing with me and film and movies and shit is people start going, oh, you got to see – like everybody told me that Moonrise Kingdom by Wes Anderson was great. No, I haven't seen that yet.
Who told you that?
I don't know. All these fucking people.
Were you like in a little Silver Lake coffee shop and you overheard some couple of hipsters at a table talking about it? Because no real human being would possibly recommend
– He is popular though, right?
Not really. His films tank. Nobody saw Moonrise Kingdom.
Life Aquatic was pretty good.
$10. It made no money at all. Like, nobody goes.
Okay, but now if we're doing the thing where we're equating success with money, then who makes a lot of money?
Who?
Well, fucking the Fast and Furious, and that's the biggest piece of shit. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the big money makers in the world are usually mediocre. I mean, that's usually the height of mediocrity.
At least the Fast and the Furious kind of knows what it is. It doesn't try to be anything
That's
more.
True.
Whereas
That's
Wes
true.
Anderson sometimes thinks he's like a guy at a party who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
He's like, you know, he brings Jenga and he's like, oh look, he brought Jenga. That's 80s like, you know, party game. Isn't he cool? He's hip, you know. But yeah. It's not really that cool. It's
no, I agree. And also what I found out about Wes Anderson, and I know a lot of directors do this, but he's also like, he directs Amex commercials and that kind of shit.
I'm sure he makes more money from the commercials than he does from.
Yeah, that's probably
I know he does,
true.
Actually,
you know what was a bummer to find out that Chris Guest does commercial. Yeah. Does commercial work. And and my thing is, and like,
does he do all those Jamie Lee Curtis Activia commercials? Wouldn't that be a great pair? Jamie, 6 a.m., we got to go do an Activia spot in Tarzana. Come on, let's go.
Is it just because it's such easy money, this corporate money?
Oh, it's,
I mean, it's such
it's
easy money.
Because you don't really have to put your name to it. You can be
anonymous. Well, you do if you're – oh, I see. Like, not, you know, Wes Anderson, but, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis is the face of this Activia
shit. But I'm saying, you know how a lot of actors will like go – to Japan and make commercials,
yes.
Like Brad Pitt, George Clooney, because you can make an insane amount of money, and it's not really considered selling out to do a commercial for a energy drink in Japan as it would be for him to do a, you know, George Clooney hawking Red Bull in America,
right,
for some reason.
Right.
And also the money is
apparently, well, because
insane.
Of the obscurity.
Yeah, that's what it is. But that's
factor.
Why a lot of directors like, you know, Wes Anderson and you mentioned Chris Guest, they do these commercials because it's a lot of money. Huge
and
upside,
people don't know that they're doing
them. We'll ever know that they did it. So it's like, it's just found money and it's easy. It's an easy gig.
Right.
It's
right.
Just way too much money to turn down.
Right.
You know.
But
let's talk about David Cross doing Alvin and the Chipmunks. Let's talk about that.
He's been so nice to me, David Cross. He's been super nice, yeah.
Did he marry somebody like Amber, some actress?
I don't know. Maybe he did.
I don't know. Listeners, do me a favor. Google David Cross married and see who he's married to right now.
No, but he's been so cool. I worked on Arrested Development. That isn't to hurt anybody out there, and you know that I have that kind of street cred. By the way, I have worked on some very
Arrested Development.
Right. Now, well, that's the thing about me, and I think a lot of comedians is that, or actors in general, is that you'll work all kinds of different level stuff. Like I just came back from Atlanta filming an Adult Swim show, and I flew back to do a Narcotic Anonymous.
What?
Show. Yeah, I flew back to do Narcotics Anonymous. Had a big convention and I got paid.
So the head of Narcotics Anonymous saw your flapper show and met you in the parking lot afterwards.
One of my friends
treated you to some chicken wings at the Fabulous
it's just my
Islands Burgers next door and said, Eddie, we need you.
Island Burgers.
I love all the references you throw in.
Like, I know Burbank well. It's funny. I've never been to Flappers, but I know everything around. I know there's a –
Hold it. You've never been to Flappers?
I've
I mean, because a lot
never
of people get down in Burbank. You know, there's a lot of heat. Not showbiz heat. Well, there is a lot of showbiz stuff there, it's very hot. I could imagine you. I just picture you.
I worked in NBC for fucking 8-10 years, dude. I know Burbank. Trust me. I worked for the Leno Show. I know that.
Right, but
I know
that was Burbank. Before Flappers was there. Flappers is there now in this location somewhere. Something like 4 years, three, four
but,
years.
But again, I'm curious, is it a restaurant or is it like you sit like
it is a comedy
style?
Club. It is
it's
a
like
comedy
it's
club.
Like the improv. It's like the improv.
Yeah,
it's exactly
a comedy
that.
Club
okay,
that
okay.
serves food.
Okay.
You are too fucking funny.
I'm just
but anyway, what I wanted to say is I could see you walking around Burbank, you know, going to IKEA, not being able to find the
going
right
to Fuddruckers for like a lunch, you know, making my own hamburger.
Fuddruckers.
I like Fuddruckers. Don't fucking bad
you
enough.
Do?
I love Fuddruckers. That's a good burger. That is a good burger.
The burgers at Fuddruckers?
Oh, they're very good.
What, they're just gigantic?
They're just gigantic, and you can make them yourself, and you can, like, put all this. They have, like, different kinds of cheeses, and they have all these options. It's a really good burger. Okay?
One of
I know
my
you're
most.
Vegan, so you're crying
one of my. Out, yeah, vegans, we do not like. We do not like talk of burgers.
Fuddruckers doesn't enter into the vegan lifestyle at any
well, it's just because I've seen videos where cows are terrified when they're killed, and
well,
I can't. I
off.
Can't abide
yeah,
by that
scared,
lifestyle. But yeah. But well, it is funny. One of my most successful tweets was the God is in the details, but assholes are in Fuddruckers. Because I just associate Fuddruckers. Before you told me they have a great burger, I just associated that place with, like, that to me, if there ever was, like, an image of a dying franchise, it's Fuddruckers. But they keep staying
really?
Around. I mean, I see them and I just go,
there's
I will never go in there.
Huh? See, I feel that way about Flappers. I feel like Flappers represent a dying industry, a dying medium of comedy. Like, that's why comedy is dying, is because of a Flappers Comedy Club. That's so how you feel about Fuddruckers, I feel about Flappers. I just shut it.
But actually, Flappers, it's surprisingly the audience isn't that bad. But okay. I could just see you okay. walking around Burbank, not getting your
Going to IKEA.
You go to IKEA, you can't get the right Schmorgenblender chair.
So I walk over to Fuddruckers. And
then you're like, well, you know, can I get a little comedy in my life? And there's there's Flappers right at your fucking door there. But it's actually not a bad, like, if you, the main room, you should come. You should come to my next hour.
Plug your show. When is it?
I believe it's May 4th over there.
I'll come.
Yeah,
and if this podcast airs before, this is going to air before.
I think it will air before.
Then,
yeah.
If you're listening, please come out to a Flappers.
Not Fuddruckers.
Not Fuddruckers, but yeah. Flappers. Is it for Eddie? And I'll be in the audience watching. And afterwards, I'll take you to Fuddruckers.
All right, let's stop bad mouthing a place I'm playing at, and let's talk about what's going on. What? All right. So we did Pudding Strip. Now that was an insane. Now we have some. Let me tell you something. Pudding Strip, we had some really, and still do, hardcore fans.
We do.
Because here's the thing about Pudding Strip, and you should check it out, folks. It's you can check it out by going to @PuddingStrip on Twitter.
Or just go to YouTube and type in Pudding, P-U-D-D-I-N, a little apostrophe, and there's like over 500 episodes.
And the thing that Pudding did that I don't see very much is that it went to places that other fucking web series do not go. And that's also the reason, I think, why we didn't sell it.
I agree.
I really believe
it
that.
Was, there's most NSFW, not safe for works videos, usually are safe for work. Ours was absolutely not safe.
Unless you were working at a slaughterhouse.
Exactly. Or at Flappers. You could actually...
Stop.
I'm getting paid by Flappers Company. Dime. For every time I say their name. A fucking dime. Could not play a lot of Pudding because it was very not safe for work. And I think that because of that, we alienated a lot of our audience. And we didn't get through to the youth. And one thing I'll tell you
about
YouTube.
Hold it. We did get through to the youth, didn't we?
Not really. No.
Oh, wasn't a youth market?
Well, I don't know.
Why didn't we get through to the youth?
Because.
The fuck is wrong with them, huh?
They're a bunch of assholes. They didn't get us, you know?
They didn't get us?
Okay. We sold a chunk of Pudding to a YouTube channel called Official Comedy. Official Comedy is a very youth-oriented web channel, okay? And before we did this, our YouTube videos would get nothing but likes and positive feedback and positive reinforcement and lots of views. Yeah. And the moment we started airing Pudding on the Official Comedy channel, which caters to all 13, 14-year-old tweeners,
we
got the worst, the most thumbs down, the worst reviews. Fuck this Pudding. Get the fuck. I've never seen such hatred towards Pudding until we sent it to Official Comedy.
They
didn't even air most of them because they just paid us for our videos, but they wouldn't air the last 20 or 30 because it was the reviews were so terrible. And we were so not what this audience wanted.
Right. And to me, that is a victory for us.
Absolutely. I love that the
tweeners didn't like us because, it's just that to me it means that their sense of humor, who do they like? Like what?
They like shit on YouTube. It's like a young 14-year-old guy doing like a Miley Cyrus parody. Like that, they think that's adorable. They think that's so clever and cute. They love a girl dressed up as like somebody from Mean Girls doing like a phony voice and just rambling about pop culture. That's the kind of shit that's what gets millions and millions of hits. Eddie Pepitone walking into a break room and talking about Nietzsche is not going to get the youth.
So
you know,
basically market. What it is it is Pudding. The lack of its of widespread popularity is because it's an indictment of people who don't know history, culture.
Yeah, yeah.
All they know is the last 5 fucking years or the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's people who don't read, people who don't think.
Exactly. Because for as not safe for work as Pudding was, I also threw in a lot of like intellectual references. Dostoevsky, Watership Down. Remember that book?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff, obscure stuff. That people who just don't, you know,
Yeah.
Get it.
But also, here's what yeah. here's what now, I don't know if you agree with this, sure. but yes, I agree with what you're saying there, but also emotionally, and this is the big one for me,
yeah.
is emotionally, we went to fucking really dark places, and I don't think people want to see I just don't think they want to see like people having nervous breakdowns,
yeah.
which is the reality of
they want to think.
No, they want everything to be like, oh look, there's a cat dancing on a piano, or there's this little girl making fun of Mean Girls, or all that bullshit.
Yeah, because I think that what we did, we were a much more a mirror image of people's lives, and people who are sitting yeah. at their computers, they want to watch the cat taking well, shit on a record. They don't want to watch Eddie Valtone acting out their lives, you know.
Right, and also to me, the funniest aspect of Pudding was that we did it in an anonymous, like, I can't find the word, but like in this, it was a break room in yeah. some corporation. And to me, how many people are in corporate America wanting to slit their fucking throats every fucking second of the day? The workplace.
Small talk. It's all small talk and just boring, life-sucking, you yeah. know.
Yeah.
Phosphorus,
I mean,
lights.
You know what the funniest thing to me, though, is like advertising agencies who, like, you go into, I've done this, like, when I used to go out on commercial auditions,
yeah.
I remember going into an advertising agency. It was the opposite of what we're talking about. Like, you would go in and there'd be pool tables and dogs with bandanas running around. Like, they would overcompensate.
Dogs with bandanas.
They would overcompensate the other way. Like, they would, like, oh man, it's such a hip environment. We got a pool table, we got dogs. Running
jukebox.
Around. Yeah, we got yeah. a jukebox. We got all this cool food. And meanwhile, they are sucking the dick of corporate masters. They are like doing they're fucking doing Exxon commercials, or they'll do whatever fucking advertising, yeah. you yeah. know, selling Taco Bell, like just the worst the food you eat. You know, Fuddruckers.
Kids try Marlboro cigarettes, the
yeah.
best cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we're like, and,
you know.
Yeah, I love
Drink
those
Red
guys.
Bull for breakfast, kids. It's the best stuff ever.
I love those guys because they try to come off as so hip, and it's like the hipsters.
You're reinventing the wheel. No, you're not. You're just fucking riding on the same one that's been going around since the fucking, 1920s.
Right.
It's like you're not reinventing anything.
But I think that is why Pudding Strip didn't, you know, go viral, because I really thought we had fucking huge celebrities. Name some of the celebrities on Pudding.
Robin Williams.
Keep going.
David Koechner, Andy Daly, Andy Richter, Weird Al Yankovic, for God's
Weird
sake.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al Yankovic, for the love of God.
Dana Gould, Patton Oswalt.
Did some. James Urbaniak, the great James Urbaniak, did a bunch. I mean, we
Urbaniak,
had a lot of people.
We had
Laura Silverman did a bunch.
Natasha Leggero.
Is that how you say her last name? Leggero?
Yeah.
Okay, Leggero. She did some. Belinda Hill. Steven Weber, who's fucking
Steven
great.
Weber.
Steven Weber. So funny.
Oh, but we're missing Michael McKean.
Michael McKean, my favorite. Then the best one we ever did was Crows.
Crows is so funny.
You should somehow.
You
got to
check
link.
Out. By the way, go to Pudding Strip. Punch in Michael McKean
yeah.
/ Crows.
Go to Pudding. Not
Pudding.
Don't go to Pudding Strip. In fact,
go to fucking hell. How about that? How about you go to fucking hell?
Eddie, why don't you put a link on this thing? So isn't there a
yeah,
webpage?
Sure we will.
Put
sure
a link.
We
will. Put a link to the one Crows is the one with Michael McKean with Crows. I think that sums up Pudding better than any of the
yeah,
other videos. I think
totally.
That really does. That's the best one. That's the one that people love.
But to me, and this is why I like doing Pudding, is that all of this mayhem took place in a corporate environment.
One unbroken shot, about 30 seconds. All was
yeah.
30 seconds. No editing. No.
It was perfect for the internet. It was perfect for the internet.
And for people out there listening who were fans of Pudding, they always ask me why you stopped. Here's why we had to stop. The first time we did Pudding was in an office out in Santa Monica. It was owned
yeah.
by one company. They were totally cool with us filming there. They gave us carte blanche to film whenever we wanted to. It was a great environment. The kitchen was nice and small and cozy. We can go there all the time. It was great. What happened was this company moved to a new building on Wilshire Boulevard. No big deal. That happens. But the new office that they moved into, they share with three other companies. So in order for us to film Pudding there, we have to get permission from these other three companies that don't really know us. And even though they say, yeah, it's kind of a favor we're calling in, and I don't feel comfortable. And also, the new kitchen, unlike the old kitchen, is massive. It's a huge space.
It was
different. It's a shitty, shitty
It didn't
space.
Have the same
it's very
feel.
Echoey. And yeah. it's just and also just again the companies that use this office, they're there all the time, so they're just people walking in and out. And I just felt like I was really being pushy by asking to use this office. So we kind of had to
We were getting a little burnt out, and when we tried to sell it, no one fucking bought it. We tried.
Came very close to it a couple places, but they passed, and I think that kind of took the wind out of my sales. I think that took the wind out of your sales, too. I could tell it did.
Yeah.
It. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people try, and you fail every day. You know, there's nothing wrong, you know? Hitler tried to be an artist, and he failed. And
now,
he
you did another
different.
Thing. Now, right after that, I just want to talk about this for a little bit, that you did another thing right after that called the late. What did you call it? Because it was so sick. Tell sick. People about that.
It's called the Pre-Dawn Show with Matt
The
Oswald.
Pre-Dawn, and it was a talk show.
There's so many talk shows on TV.
Yeah, this is what pisses me off, too. And this
so
is why
fucking talk
this
shows.
Is why I like that idea of yours, is there's so many fucking talk shows on TV. It's gotten insane.
Every time
it's gotten insane.
TV,
I don't need to. I don't need.
There's not enough celebrities to go around. There's not enough people to be yeah. on these shows. And they literally are just having, like, you know, the woman who took a shit on
but
a
But it's an example of how Hollywood yeah. is out of ideas, isn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, God.
Or here's another thing, because movies reflect this too. It's not only that they're out of ideas, but they're afraid to do anything new because it might fail and some people might lose their jobs. So what they do, and for instance, in movies this goes on, they just reboot Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They reboot Star Wars. There's no fucking new shit
there's
going
gonna be,
on.
There's going to be a Hangover 10. There's going to be 20
Hangover. I think they finally did stop Hangover just because, well, first of all, how much fucking money can they make?
They can't make enough, okay?
That's true. It's unreal.
They have fucking, you know.
It's unbelievable.
Cars to buy. Trust me.
But by Hangover 3, that shit was so played out.
By the 45-minute mark of Hangover 1.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, that's very out. True. But I'm saying, no, I agree with that actually myself, that Hangover 1 was good for about half of it.
I get it.
Okay. And then Hangover 2, I was like,
cash
you got to be
baby.
Fucking.
Just cashing in. Everyone making
cashing
paydays,
in.
Just cashing in.
And then
ching,
Hangover
ching, ching,
3 was like, you know.
Was just like it felt like an Adam Sandler movie. It was that lazy. It was like it was that.
Do you hear that,
lazy.
Adam Sandler? It felt like
Adam
one of your
shit,
movies.
I just fucking burned my bridge with Adam Sandler.
Don't worry.
God
Don't worry.
But
him and Kevin James. Is it Kevin James?
Kevin James. Yeah.
They now just make any movie. It's just so funny. Hollywood is just.
I just.
It's just
oh, you know what? I tweeted something that was that Seth Rogen about Seth Rogen. It's about that movie Neighbors coming out. But I tweeted from the producers of Adam Sandler and Sweatpants and the director of Vince Vaughn in an old flannel shirt comes Seth Rogen in a baby Bjorn. And Seth Rogen, because the poster for that movie is just Seth Rogen in a baby Bjorn. What? That's just crazy.
What's
and
a baby Bjorn again? Is that like, where you hold
like
the baby?
When
a caboose?
It's like a slacker guy holding a baby
yeah,
around his chest.
Right,
and he's wearing
right.
like the flannel shirt.
Right,
and he's got
right.
the half beard. What?
Seth Rogen's growing up. Seth
yeah,
Rogen's
exactly.
growing up.
But not really, because he still has that slacker mentality.
Hey, you know who I
But
can...
anyway, he retweeted me. He tweeted back.
What did he say?
He said, he goes, no, it's from the makers of Joseph Gordon-Levitt in a tight T-shirt or something. Like, he was trying to be funny, you know?
Oh,
that was funny.
He
was
realizes
like,
it's shit.
He knows it's
In a
shit.
Way, he was, like, agreeing with
he
you.
Exactly
By the way,
what he's doing,
now,
yeah.
now this is an interesting thing about Twitter. The fact that Seth Rogen came back at you with
yeah.
the tweet, did that stir up your Twitter account in a way?
Yeah, a little bit. Not much, not even a lot. No, I mean a little bit. It got a little brush fire, but it was okay.
Because how many followers does that fuck have?
Oh, he's got to have him. I don't know. I'm sure in the millions.
Because today.
But I don't think I follow him anymore because he never tweets. He never tweets.
But that's interesting that he came back at, because
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
touched the nerve with him because he realizes it's fucking true. What you're basically
yeah.
saying is like the same old,
same old. It's slacker guy in his early 30s. You know, he's a new dad, but he's trying to hold on to his youth. And it's the same exact.
Yeah,
every
yeah,
Adam
yeah,
Sandler
yeah.
slash
yeah.
Vince Vaughn slash,
yeah, yeah.
you know.
The Apatowian.
The
just
Apatowian.
Same
oh,
old.
God.
Fuck. You know what I watched on the airplane? I was on Delta, folks. And again, I just want to talk to my audience here for 1 second.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to get some water. Go ahead.
Yeah, you, folks, the fact that I'm on Delta, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that you know, you can have if you just, you know, spend 35 years in the comedy business holding on by your bare thumbnails, and then eventually you get a documentary made about you. I was on Delta, and they had my documentary on Delta, by the way. So if you're flying Delta, please watch The Bitter Buddha. But anyway.
You still talking? Oh, shit. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, but anyway, what was hilarious is that free movies. I was flown business class, which, by the way, I understand now the 1% wanting to keep the 99% down. Once you have
the riffraff, you want to get away from them, yeah.
Well, it is so funny. I was in business class because the network was flying me, and the fact that the seat folds into a bed in business class,
wow,
is just like, you're like, oh, okay, I do wish I owned an oil well. And just destroyed the environment and the ecosystem.
I do wish I sold that Katherine Heigl spec. You know, that could have got me.
Katherine Heigl. What does she do? She's another name who, like, when she's in something, you know, okay, I know what I'm getting.
She's the female Adam Sandler, basically.
She's the female Adam Sandler.
Lazy, walking on, just sets, just selling whatever dress she's wearing, saying a few lines, quirky lines, and running off.
But what I wanted to say is that I watched Anchorman. The first one was on and our buddy David Koechner's in it. Our buddy David Koechner's in it.
Yeah.
And I watched it. And here's the thing about those movies and Hollywood movies in general is that they're like long sketches. They don't rope you in with real fucking stories. Like, and Farrell is funny, and David's funny, David Koechner's funny.
Yeah.
Carell is funny, dude.
Yeah.
Like, all these funny dudes. Paul Rudd I could maybe do with that. Paul Rudd, why is he in every movie?
He's just become that go-to. I bet Paul Rudd seems the kind of guy that they've taken to, like, focus groups, and he's testing.
Yes, that's
that guy.
That goes back to our point about what the tweens are watching. The tweens would probably love Paul Rudd because
why? I don't.
I'm just saying. I don't know if the tweens would like them, but and by the way, just the fact that we're using the word tweens means that we're not good people. But but Paul Rudd is just so likable, and that's all people who don't want to look at reality want. They don't want someone like me. They don't want someone like me who actually looks like life has really punched in the face, and I emote all this emotion about how, you know, what pain there is. They want Paul Rudd, who's like,
are you saying that Paul Rudd is like the new Tom Hanks? Like, he's that new likable guy who just shows up in movies.
Except
like
he's not as big as Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is a lead, where Rudd is kind of like.
There was
like
a time when Tom Hanks
banana.
Went through that whole like man with one red shoe, Turner and Hooch. He had like a good like 5 or 6 years of just like doing these leading man,
but Rudd is in a lead.
Paul Rudd's that guy. He's kind of like he's in everything, but he's always in these simple movies that don't make a ton of money. They make good money, but they don't like they're not like he's never going to be like nominated for an Oscar. Like, he's not going to cross over like Tom Hanks did.
Right.
He's gonna
he won't.
He's going to perpetually be a single guy looking for a girl. He's
but anyway,
that guy.
But anyway, let's stop talking about Paul Rudd because he's a very lucky guy.
Yeah,
but anyway, you know who also is just so vapid. And I think he is kind of pretentious just because he comes off like he wants to be this like indie film guy is fucking James Franco.
Yeah.
What a vapid dude that man is.
I just think it's amazing that he got
caught. He's so vapid.
He got caught on Twitter like trying to proposition a
I heard girl, about that.
And he got a day later nobody was talking about it.
Good PR team?
Good PR.
Got rid of
PR
it?
PR people just to get rid of it. And, you know.
Chaplin used to fuck teenagers.
Chaplin
and his
was fucking like 14-year-old girls.
His PR team took care of that shit for the main part.
You could do that. You could, you know, do that kind of stuff. But now it's like you even talk to a girl at like a fucking Wetzel's Pretzels in a mall.
All right, don't talk about your life.
You know.
I think that was a very autobiographical.
We were just talking about the abundance of cinnamon.
That was basically what you just did right there, a pudding strip.
Very autobiographical, yeah. I'm hanging out there. I had the hot dog on a stick at the Burbank Mall.
By the way, you do
right before
what I really like about flappers. You. What I really like about you, Matt, too, is that you have a real knack for the chains. Like you always use the chains, like Wetzel Pretzels, Fuddruckers. What are the chains
Auntie
you
M's,
like?
Hot dog.
Auntie M's?
Yeah, it's a chain, just like a pretzel like thing. Yeah.
Oh, it's another pretzel
it's
one.
Like pretzel thing. Yeah.
By the way, pretzel. It's hilarious to me.
I've never gotten that. I don't get the idea.
It's hilarious to me that a franchise could be based on pretzels and make a living.
And the combinations are so random. It's like, you know, it's like cinnamon raisin pretzel. Like, who has ever in their life craved a cinnamon and raisin warm pretzel that they wanted to drive to a mall, drive around for an hour looking for a parking spot, park, walk through like a Macy's to get to the main mall, walk all the way to the friggin' mall food court and stand in line for 20 minutes for a fucking cinnamon and raisin it's the most random. And they're everywhere. So they clearly, whatever they're doing, they're doing it right. People like that place. I don't get
they like that place?
Their business,
my God.
They're
How about Wiener Schnitzels? That's another horrific place.
Oh God, I just the
name some other chain, like food. It's food chains mainly.
TGIF's, Chili's, Applebee's. I've never been into a Chili's. I've never been into a TGIF's. I've been to it.
You've never been to a TGIF?
Never in my life. I've been to an Applebee's like once. I had like a burger and fries. Yeah. It was absolutely fine. There was nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
Right.
Like those kind of places. Like, although I will say, it would be chain restaurants, Cheesecake Factory is probably my favorite. That's a good place.
Is it? Why do you say Cheesecake Factory is good?
It's a wonderful place. They just do.
I love the way you say that. You just became middle America right there. Like the way you just said.
Because I got a Cheesecake Factory gift card for Christmas from my mom and dad. That was their present to me. A $50.
Oh, they gave it to you.
As a Christmas gift. Yeah, because I think I was talking to my mom about it one day.
Is that all you got from your parents? Was a $50 Cheese Factory gift certificate?
I don't want to talk about that. Is that kind of sad that a 43-year-old bachelor is getting a Cheesecake Factory? I think my mom was hoping that I'd take a girl like on a date, but I ended up going with my friend Christine, who was a friend of mine, you know?
Yeah.
But I took her there, and we got the s'mores cheesecake. Holy shit, that was good. It's like s'mores. It's exactly what you think it is. It comes warm with
now, when you look,
marshmallow.
Oh, no, it sounds very good. It sounds very good. I mean, I'm a vegan, and I don't participate. I'm a vegan, so I don't participate in the dairy industry horror. But when you looked around at the people in the Cheesecake Factory, answer me this. Were most of them fat?
No. They were all joyful, happy, having a wonderful time.
Not fat?
Talking about things.
Obese? You didn't really look?
I didn't really look. I don't look at that kind of thing. But I don't think so because it was...
I don't look at that kind of thing.
It was at the Grove. I mean, there were some...
This was the Grove.
The Grove Cheesecake Factory. The good one. Yeah.
Right.
There were some really happy people. Everyone was talking, having conversations, talking about stuff. And it just seemed like everyone was...
I just love that you're sounding like such an ad for the a legitimate ad. Like everybody's just happy here. Like I could see you like just a one-on-one. Like the camera is just in your face.
Truly, because it was like twilight, and we're sitting. And if you go upstairs in the Cheesecake, there's like an outdoor area, so you can sit on like a balcony, and you can look over the Grove, and there's the train going by, and we're sharing a s'mores cheesecake, and it's just.
By the way, you are describing you are describing though like a pudding episode that we would make fun of because the train, by the way, if you folks don't know, the Grove in Los Angeles, and there's also a version of it at the Americana Mall, I believe, in Glendale. Where they have a little, I don't know if they have it in Glendale.
Armeniacana Mall, you mean that one? Yeah.
That one, yeah. But in the Grove, they have a little trolley.
Oh, it's adorable.
That takes people from store to store, and it's the most, I guess the kiddies like it.
It's a trolley. It goes about 20 feet. It's like it's probably a very expensive thing to run and to maintain, but it really doesn't, you can walk faster then the trolley actually goes at top speed. So it doesn't seem to serve a purpose, but it's adorable. I like it. I love I'm a big fan of trolleys and trains in general.
Well,
so,
you should go to San Francisco. They have some real fucking trolleys.
I know.
I've been on them in San Francisco. Not to brag again, folks, that I have that kind of lifestyle.
Did they show the Bitter Buddha documentary on that?
On the trolley. That would be funny.
That would be hysterical if they're just showing it.
Folks, if you're watching the Bitter Buddha, you will... when you get back on, if you're transferring, you can pick it up right where you left off. That would be funny if you could.
It's the scene when he's in New York crying with his father. Anyway, that's the Grove. It's a big trolley that goes. It's a very slow, meandering trolley, but it's.
But mall culture, mall culture, man. It's just such – it's like, do you like mall culture?
I hate malls in general.
Yeah. Malls just make me want to kill myself.
I shop online now because I just can't.
Yeah, who doesn't?
And I just – sometimes you have to because – especially when it comes to like jeans, because jeans are so ill-fitting. You have to kind of try them on. It's hard to order stuff because they come and it's always
true.
Like a 35 or a 34 waist is different per every jean you buy. So you have to – there's certain things you have to go to the mall for. But right, like, for the most part, right. I agree. I can't stand malls.
People just shop online now, right? They get cigars, dildos, whatever it is, online. You know, gardening equipment.
A lot of gardening equipment online. Yeah, it's a big industry for that, you know? So in case the comedy thing doesn't work out yet, you can consider...
honey,
you know,
are my shears in the
Margaret, my shears.
Ow! Ow! Your shears are here! My shears are here? Why didn't you tell me? No, Al, it's the big box. It's the big box. It just came. Margaret, be careful. Those shears will kill you. Oh, Al, they will not. I always watch out for the shears. By the way, wind shear is a different thing. Anyway, I do Al and Margaret a lot on the
UPS guy says your weed whacker is 2 days away from showing up. Don't worry, though.
Okay, now let's switch gears a little. You're currently – okay, so Pudding has a lot of fans, a lot of crazy dark fans.
It kind of died. It had to die because of the office moving from one to the other. And I think you and I had kind of, you know, we had gone.
We wrote a lot of them, man, or you wrote a lot of them. And there were a lot of them.
Fucker. You didn't write shit. I did all the writing.
Well, I certainly acted in a lot of them. That was one of those productions that I didn't get a. Oh, everything all right?
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks.
I'm sorry about that. We'll edit that.
We're good.
Eddie will edit that in post-production.
Oh, yeah.
You will not hear that.
So now you are writing for a roast, I hear?
I'm writing currently for the Scott Ian roast. It's a thing for,
who the fuck is Scott Ian?
He is the guitarist for Anthrax. And I'm writing jokes, like jokes all having to do with rock and roll and metal and Metallica and Slayer and stuff. And it's good. I wrote last month for the IFC Awards.
You did?
My brother hosted it. It was kind of cool. It's like the IFC Awards comes the day before the Oscars. So it's kind of like it's like the cool award show all the hipsters go to.
Who were some of the winners in the IFC Awards
that wasn't the Oscars? It was
stuff.
A surreal experience because they do this in a tent. They don't go to an auditorium.
Oh, shit. Where is it?
They do this in a tent in Santa Monica on the beach.
I've been
there.
And
they build a giant tent, and it was pouring rain. And
It happened to be raining? It never rains out here.
It was pouring rain. Now, the IFC...
Patton was the host.
He was the MC. I felt horrible for him because it's a tough room to do, man. You can also, if you're like just a rich guy, you can buy a table there and have dinner with your family. So there are people there, you know, right behind us.
Just to be seen.
You want to like look at celebrities. Yeah. Right behind us, there was an entire table, and we were sitting in the front row. Right behind us, an entire table of French people who didn't speak a thing of English. They had a translator there translating all of Patton's jokes for them. Now understand, as Patton came out, the show begins, big music, whatever. And now Patton, also, just as Patton walks out, Brad and Angelina walk in from the side to their table. And as they're walking in, everybody is looking, of course, looking at Brad and Angelina, taking pictures. It's all tourists, so they're all taking pictures and waving. And, oh, my God, it's Brad and Angelina. And Patton's on stage telling jokes. And everybody's looking to the side.
Oh, my God.
And I just was like cringing, and it's just because like nobody was like paying attention.
Now, Pat,
you hear it's a tent, so the echo in there, and you hear cutlery, people eating dinner, drinking.
Right.
The audio is. I was in the front row; I could barely hear the poor guy. It's just terrible audio. But I will say, when I watched it later on TV, he was wonderful. He was great. He was absolutely great. He killed. But just seeing it live, it's just a tough experience. It's a really surreal experience.
Yeah.
And the two movies this year that won everything, Dallas Buyers Club and 12 Years a Slave, so AIDS slavery. Tough to be funny, Eddie. I know you can be funny. I know those are your two favorite subject matters.
Yeah, but Patton's doing jokes about tons of different shit. I mean, he's doing jokes basically.
Yeah,
was he basically doing jokes about Hollywood?
The monologue was great,
stardom.
But I'm saying once the show begins, it's like, and now best screenplay, 12 Years a Slave. The guy goes up and cries and talks about slavery.
No,
and Patton's got to come out there. Hey,
hey, you know what was the interesting thing? The interesting thing about who was the screenwriter of one of the movies was a former stand-up comedian.
The screenwriter for 12 Years a Slave. Patton worked with him back in the day.
That's amazing. That's great to me.
Back in Maryland and D.C. He's from back in that area.
Yeah.
He knew
that was great to me that a former stand-up who – I don't think he got that much recognition as a stand-up. I forget his name. But then he became a writer. Like he just said, fuck stand-up. Became a writer, wrote 12 Years a Slave. Probably Yeah. You know, he wrote a lot of other shit.
That is weird, going from like open mic nights at a DC comedy club to writing 12 Years a Slave.
Now, you want to write movies too, don't you?
Yeah. I
mean, I think everybody wants, like you write stuff, like, you know, everybody writes stuff, but like, it's like, that's an inspiring thing to see a stand up like that write a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's I don't know how he did it.
I'm thinking of writing Fast and Furious 7, but some guy died in Fast and Furious.
Oh, really?
Who was he? Remember the guy who died?
Vin Diesel, I hope, right?
No, Vin Diesel. You can't kill Vin Diesel.
You cannot kill Vin Diesel, yeah.
No, it was Paul somebody.
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker died.
He seemed like a nice guy. He seemed like a decent guy. He was driving in a friend's car, and the guy was speeding, and it crashed. And he wasn't even, you know.
So he went the way
he... It is very ironic.
He lived, yeah. you know that saying. Yeah. He blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He lived how he died.
But by the way,
douchey car.
That fucking celebrity shit is so disgusting. Like you know, just the fact that when Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie walk into a room and everybody just fucking just stops and goes, oh, I mean, what a fucking dummy, dummy culture that is.
But wouldn't
what
you like
a dummy culture. I would ignore that. I would purposely just be like, you know, I would yell at them, don't give a shit.
So you're saying if you're performing at Flappers and just before you do your comedy, Brad and Angelina walk in and you walk on stage, well, how would you react to that? Would you be like, hey, Brad, Angelina, this is about me, okay? I got the goddamn mic. Sit the fuck down.
Yeah, I think I would do that, you know, because they probably, first of all, aren't used to that. They probably just get their ass kissed.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, celebrities just get their ass kissed. Yeah. It's hilarious. I mean, it is hilarious that they basically live in a world where pixie dust is scattered in front of them, even though then of course, they do have to deal with the occasional death threat or the occasional stalker may or may not kill them.
That reminds me, are you leaving Taylor Swift alone, or are you still hanging out in her backyard?
It's so funny. I'm so, like, pop culture deficient that I wouldn't even know who we were talking about when we were doing the pudding. She's a singer, right?
She's America's sweetheart, my friend.
She's America's sweetheart.
Yeah, that her vagina is where Purell comes from. That's just what I'm saying. She is an absolute angel. She's a big slice of angel food cake.
So you're writing right now for a roast. What's the roast for? What network? Is it a network or?
I think it's like for the Rock. It's a Rock. I think it's for VH1. I think.
But they're still barely. They're barely a network, aren't
they? I watch
a
lot of the VH1 classic stuff because I'm really into like 80s rock and roll, like metal. I love all those behind the music on like Metallica and Anthrax.
Behind the music.
Yeah, those are great. Those are
when they all fucking have nervous breakdowns
I love that shit, especially Metallica.
They're injecting Frank Johnson of Metallica was injecting. That shows you out of it I am. Well, I was never a metal guy. I grew up with Hendrix and Hendrix, Pink Floyd, The Who.
You're not a big music guy, though, are you?
No, I love music. I don't keep up with like I'm into Fleet Foxes.
What's the last concert you've been to? Did you go like the Arcade Fire? Did you go to Coachella, Eddie? Were you there?
Coachella. By the way, Coachella, that came up with some. Coachella is hilarious to me. Like it's a concert out in 120 degree temperatures in the middle of the desert. You know, just people fainting, tripping. Like,
and
let's go
really
take
rich people wearing expensive hippie clothes, holding up peace signs. And pretending that they're like, look, we're like, you know, we're part of the solution, baby. You know, no, you're not. You're part of the problem. You're part of the fucking problem. Okay, with your Prada fucking hippie clothes. Fuck you.
My last concert, I think it was
Depeche Mode. The Cure.
I saw actually Roger Waters came to the Hollywood Bowl and did the Dark Side of the Moon.
It was a big light show, the laser show.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Really?
And then I go to classical stuff now. I've gotten, you know, like I'm into still good music. I just got satellite radio in my car. And again, folks, let me just take a moment
to talk
to my fans.
Go ahead.
Look, folks, the fact that I have satellite radio in my car doesn't mean that you can't achieve that kind of thing. If you keep your nose to the grindstone, even though people are being thrown into jail because prisons are privatized now and it pays to have people thrown in jail, and there's really no economy in this country, even though, you know, the ads directed by Wes Anderson and Christopher Guest say that the economy is great with their fucking ads. But if you really want to know the real deal, watch Pudding Strip at Pudding Strip. All right, let's go back to you.
Flappers Comedy Club, May 21st. The zucchini sticks. I cannot recommend them.
Leave Flappers Comedy. This is where I am. I am getting ready for my hour special at the Bell House in Brooklyn, June 3rd and 4th.
You're doing an hour special? Are you going to like sell it online?
It's going to be for being produced by New Wave, and that will go to Netflix. Is what will happen?
So it's going to be video and audio. Okay, awesome.
Video and audio combined. Yeah, we're combining both.
Because sometimes people just do like CD. You're doing an actual.
Doing a special.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm gearing up, baby.
Really?
I'm trying to hit the real big leagues. Yeah.
What comedy club in New York are you doing this at again?
The Bell House.
How many does that?
Patton, I'm sure, has performed there.
How many?
Patton Oswalt.
Is it the Bell House in like New York City?
I think it's 250.
Is it in Albany or is it like where in New York?
It's in New York City, Brooklyn.
Okay.
Brooklyn.
Okay. Wow.
Brooklyn, New York, baby, where the real comedy happens now.
Well, that's a big deal. Are you nervous?
I am nervous. I am nervous because the way I do stand up is I love to riff around, get on stage, have fun.
Yeah.
So when you're putting together a special, it's like, okay, well, let's block it out. And I'm just one of these guys. I go all over the fucking. Like, I watch Patton work, and he's so organized. Like, he will do a chunk about this. He'll do a chunk about this. And he's really very structured and organized. And all the good comedians seem to do that. And I'm like, I love
to
fucking.
You're just all over the place.
Yeah, but then someone told me recently that calmed me down. He goes, fuck it, man. Just, you know, we're going to tape over two nights. And he was like, fuck it, man. Do your thing for two nights, and you'll get the special. You know, do your thing. You know, but I have a lot of bits worked out. And I have a lot of. But it's just hard for me to like the thing I don't like to do that much is to go back and keep honing it, honing the same shit because I get bored very quickly.
Yeah, and the jokes feel stale. And if you tell them and you feel like they're stale, they come off that way. It comes off like you're just saying words.
But I love to like be in the moment and then you think of something and go and just go.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited about it too. And I'm doing this year, not only am I doing that, but then at the end of July, I go back to Edinburgh.
In Scotland, doing
a whole new show called Rest in Peace USA, It's Been Fun, based on all the fact that fucking there are so many people unemployed still.
Yeah.
By the way, you look around now, isn't it true that the economy, I mean, it still is really rough, especially in LA. Did you see the New York Times article? There was an article in the New York Times that came out talking about how LA may be one of the biggest cities in decline right now just because the traffic problem is so fucking bad out here and the unemployment problem is really bad out
here. A lot of industry is moving out of LA because it's cheaper to shoot other places.
There you go. There's a perfect example.
They're scared. That show Breaking Bad was supposed to take place in California. And instead, they could have done that. They chased them out because of it was cheaper to shoot in New Mexico. So they redid the entire
show. Well, these fucking states are now like there's all these right-to-work states. And they fucking give
Arizona is a right to work state. That's why a lot of films shoot out there too, because it's right to work. So you don't have to. You can get around the union.
Right to work is another word for saying we don't want to pay people a fair wage.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's the new slave labor.
Yeah,
of our generation. It really is.
It really is. And so L.A., it's a tough – and I mean we in the job market out here, you know, as a writer,
you're sitting in my apartment. Look around in my apartment. Does my apartment look like I'm fucking prospering? You know, I'm getting Cheesecake Factory gift cards from mom and dad for Christmas.
Here's the mind fuck, though. Here's the mind fuck about L.A. and America is that – no, in L.A. especially is the disparity. Like you see the celebrities and all that they have, and they have a lot. I mean, they have like every fucking thing under the sun. They fuck androids. I mean, they have androids that fuck them and blow them, and they have fucking.
And they're all underage androids. Why can't they get an android above?
They have 18? Wine. They drink wines. No, check it out. They drink wines from the 1500s. They have wines that that the Spanish Inquisition got from people in the 1500s.
Cars fueled by Mexicans. I mean, what the fuck?
The disparity of wealth.
It's awful.
Disparity of wealth is so
disgusting.
It's immoral.
There's no way a society can sustain. This is how Rome collapsed. It was the same exact way. You had way too much of one and way too much of the other, and no middle, and eventually it just collapsed.
Yeah.
So
and the populace, and here's another thing too, the populace And we're about to do it too, because we're, me and Matt are big hockey fans, and we're Matt's from Philly, I'm from New York, so the Rangers are playing the Flyers, but the populace, like we're going to do in an hour, is amusing themselves to death by just watching stuff. They got their apps on their phone, and they're all fucking, they're all not conscious of the fact that the fucking ecosystem is collapsing around them, that corporations aren't hiring anymore, even though it has hit a lot of people. I mean,
And real quickly, you can find Puddin' on YouTube. It's a really funny web series. There's over 500 episodes. You can just sit in your apartment and just watch one after the other. Eddie makes fun of pop culture, celebrities, and politics.
It
and
is so true. Like it
food,
is,
and it's really a lot of fun.
It is true for me. Like I look at my part.
And for every 1 million views, we get a dollar. We split a dollar bill.
Hey, I haven't seen a YouTube check lately. Just want you to know.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, I'd like to see one too.
But no, but it is true. It is true. Like I, as a comedian and as an entertainer, it's like I'm part of that diversion. It's because that's what.
Duke, let me ask you, because you're on this more than
Am I on what?
You're in this more than I am. Are comedy clubs on decline? I mean, do they sell out like they used to? Are they in decline? Like the Improv, the comedy club store, all that?
No,
Gotham. I mean, they get good crowds.
I think they do pretty good.
In a bad economy, people.
But there's a lot less. Like there was the boom in the 80s, God, right?
Big boom, yeah, the huge boom.
A lot of the clubs, you know, closed up. Now, the ones that remain, they get what they do is they just cycle the big headliners.
Sure.
And so the names, and again, that's what it's all about today. You have to become a big brand or nobody wants to fucking know you. And the club owners don't want to book you unless you're like the guy on a television show. Like for me, it's tough because I haven't been like a big name yet on a TV show. You know what I mean? Like you need to so all the fucking little lemmings come. I mean, I have a nice fan base for sure. I have a nice fan base, but to go to a level where you're like, you know, really big,
and they can put you at so and so from the mini project. It's like you got to have that, even if you're young,
a recognizable.
They can say so and so from New Girl, so and so from Two Broke Girls. It can like bump you up.
Well, I've been on Two Broke Girls twice. Have you seen my Two Broke Girls episodes?
I have not.
One, I played a hoarder.
It's funny because I've seen every episode of Two Girls. I missed the two that you were on because it's
well, when I played a hoarder, I was behind newspapers. I'm not kidding. That was the greatest gig I ever had.
So it was like
I had to do was read my lines from behind newspapers.
Great. I didn't read the line a lot.
I was like, I'm right over here. And the Two Broke Girls, who, by the way, don't look that broke. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but I feel like they're not going through what the rest of the country's going through.
You don't think they're fucking eating ramen noodles and, you know, clipping coupons.
By the way, what are we having for dinner? I didn't bring any food for our hockey game.
I thought you said you were bringing food. I have some pretzels. I have some wonderful Pepperidge Farm.
Can we order something up?
Cheese snacks. But I was going to make a pizza for myself, but it's not vegan.
Well, that's
vegan.
I could pay for the order. Anyway.
You can.
Anyway,
absolutely.
I'm sorry, folks, that you have had to hear that. Margaret, what are they talking about? Ordering food in? Yes, Al. Apparently, what's going on is that Matt has a pizza that he's going to make for himself, but Eddie, who's a vegan, didn't bring the vegan food, so now he's going to have to order. Do you think the vegan people deliver? I don't know, Al. I think what he can do is order from a Mexican restaurant, and if you get a veggie burrito without the sour cream, it's the same as a vegan thing. Margaret, what are you fucking talking? How do you know what is vegan and what is not? Al, I know what is vegan. Vegan means you don't eat anything with the face, or you don't eat dairy, anything that comes from an animal. Ah, Margaret, you're smarter than I thought. I really love you, you know? Oh, Al, I love you too. It's just that when I hear them talking about food and, you know, the vegan, non-vegan stuff, I just wanted to let you know what was going on. Margaret, let me ask you a question. Are you addicted to over-the-counter medications? What? Where did that come from? We're talking about vegan, not vegan stuff? No, it's just that Kitty Dukakis got addicted to to mouth. What? Kitty Dukakis. Al, how are you going to relate to the tweens? How are you going to relate to the tweens if you talk about someone who's been out of the public limelight? You got to talk about Miley Cyrus or Justin Bieber or the latest person. No, I'm talking about Kitty Dukakis. She got addicted to things like mouthwash. She used to drink Listerine, for Christ's sake, to get a buzz. Are you doing that? That's all I want to buzz. Al, the only thing I get a buzz from is that little thing you put in your hand, and when I shake your hand, it gives me a little buzz. Well, I love old-time vaudeville comedy, Margaret. Can you blame me? Al, I don't blame you for anything. I love you very much. And the answer is yes, I am addicted to Ban Roll-On deodorant. I chop it up into some of the salad, and I get a little high. All right, as long as you're only addicted. By the way, do they still make Ban? No, I stockpiled it just before they went out of business, and now I cut up the roll-ons into a little salad, and then I get a little high. All right, I just want you to know, as long as you're not getting high all the time. Well, once in a while, I will snort a fax. What? How can you snort a fax? Al, don't you understand anything about technology? All right, baby, come here. Baby, you're the greatest.
Okay, that was a little Alan Margaret.
We're pitching this to Lifetime. I think we should pitch with Steven Weber as Al. And
I can't be in it.
Alyssa Milano as Margaret.
Alyssa Milano. That was the funniest thing. I remember you were always saying that Alyssa Milano was going to be on Pudding.
She was going to be. She ended up being on my thing.
Yes, I know. And it was the funniest thing. Like, oh, Eddie, Alyssa Milano is going to be on Pudding. I was like, oh, that would be really cool. And then I fucking go away for like, I don't know,
you
2 weeks.
You disappeared for a long time. You were
Did
gone
I?
Like 3 months.
I was on the road,
yeah,
baby.
You were gone for a long time.
I was on the road. And then you had started your other web series. We didn't even really talk about that.
Show. It was
the
my,
pre-dawn
it was my
show. Dad, talk about that a little bit. It was
the,
about.
Oh, the pre-dawn show is like, there's so many choices for late night television, but there's nothing at 3:30 a.m. So like, I have the 3:30 a.m. talk show format cornered. So I have my it's a talk show, but it's 3:30 a.m. So everyone's just exhausted. So it's me and Steve Agee in my bed basically, and I'm doing the talk show, but I'm just clearly just like just trying to hang on.
Steve Agee, fucking
Steve
funny
Agee
dude, Sarah Silverman kick. Show.
And we got to, and we fucking got Alyssa Milano to come to my apartment. It was
you
so
motherfucker.
Painful.
I turn around.
It was humiliating, dude. You have no idea how humiliating.
She was in here?
Yeah, she was in my apartment. In my fucking
was she cool?
Disgusting.
Was she cool?
Was so nice and aww. So cool, and I felt I was. It was one of the lowest moments of my life having this beautiful, rich, successful entrepreneur in my shitty. Bachelor.
No, but hold it.
Furnished
but hold it.
Hobble.
You wanted her here.
I really didn't think she'd. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but then, like, because I think that she agreed to do it like 2 weeks before I ended up doing it. And then, like, I think as the days got closer to it, I was like, Alyssa Milano's going to be in my fucking apartment. That is so.
That is too
shameful.
Fucking
I mean,
funny.
She lives, like, in a mansion in Calabasas. She
oh,
has this
I can
clothing
imagine.
Line that makes tons of money.
No, she's a big singer, right? See, no. I don't know. No, what was she? What was she? Big actress?
She was in that movie. Remember that
oh, big actress.
Actress. Remember that TV show? Who's the
I've
boss?
Become the old guy,
who's
by
the
way.
Boss with Tony Danza. She was a little girl there. Then
get the fuck out. She was a child actress?
Yes. Don't you know who the fuck she is?
It's so funny. I've become the old guy now.
And then she was.
I've become the old guy who's like, look at all the kids on their repods.
On their repods. Then she was on that show Charmed on.
Oh, okay.
And now she's on this show now. But she's like, she's just a name. She's a person who's been around for a long time.
But she was very cool. She saw the poverty you live in.
Nice. It was humiliating. I mean, I'm sure she was. She went home and laughed because she probably was like, oh, it's Patton Oswalt's brother. He's got to be somewhat successful. I'm sure I'll go. Not expecting this. Not like, it was just the shittiest fucking hot Hollywood apartment.
But she was totally cool.
She was so nice. She was in my bed. She was like laying next to me in my bed doing this show.
You've had Alyssa Milano in your bed.
I've had Alyssa Milano in my bed. Yeah.
Now.
The things I did to my pillow after she left, man.
And it was very, again, in your style, it was very dark.
It was very dark. Go check it out. Go to YouTube and type in Pre-Dawn Show. And there's two episodes, one with Alyssa Milano and Perla Day, who is Scott Ian's wife. And the other one is with Steven Weber and the great Amy Mann, who's a great singer.
Holy shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, she was in that. And Steve Agee is my sidekick. He kind of plays the Andy Richter kind of sidekick guy who sits in a chair sleeping the entire time and just desperately not even wanting to take part. But it's two episodes we did.
So check that out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, now I ask all of my guests. We're winding up. I ask all of my guests to
do a little segment. The James Lipton thing?
No. It's similar, though. I ask all of my guests to do a segment with me. I came up with the most improv groups. You know, they're very shaky, but I came up, I think, with a funny concept. The most arrogant improv group in the world called Genius on Demand. That's what they're called, or God. Genius on Demand or God, and all of my guests just act out a little scene with
me.
You're a Genius on Demand's guest, and here we go. Here we're going to do it. Hello. Welcome to Genius on Demand. We are the improv troupe, not company, but troupe, that performs improv that is better than anything that was ever written. And I am talking about Hamlet. I am talking about any piece of literature or play that you Molière. I am talking about Tom Stoppard. Anything that has been written in the English language, we do better on the spot. We are Genius on Demand or God. And today we are improvising with the well-known creator of Puddin, Matt Oswalt. And all we need to get started is an occupation. I heard welder. Okay, welder. And here we go. We're Genius on Demand, where all of our improvs are better than the written word. Here we go. Welder. Hey, pal. My torch isn't working. Can I use your torch?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and use it.
Thanks. Hey, by the way, I got a tip for you. In the third race today, Lucky Stripe looks like it's going to win. Now, I know that this doesn't have a lot to do with the welder suggestion that was thrown out to us.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing is taking the fact, associating the fact that welder is a blue-collar occupation and that blue-collar people like the ponies.
Gotcha.
Now, are you interested in the third race?
Well, I would be, but I got to tell you that the other day I was diagnosed with lung cancer. And Lucky Strike is a brand of cigarette. So I feel like, and I know this is probably not a good idea to take an improv thing to cancer. It probably is not good for comedy, but I'm going to go there anyway. I don't feel comfortable making a bet on a product that's killing me.
Okay. By the way, I understand everything you said, and I think it's brilliant. We're Genius on Demand. Which, by the way, how great is it that we can do a scene, and within that scene, we are commenting on how we're doing the scene and what does and does not work, yet not losing the momentum of the fact that I have asked you to give me some money for the third race today, Lucky Strike. Would you say, remind you of cancer that you've just been diagnosed with? However, this is what I want to point out. If Lucky Strike comes in, it could go toward your bill. You know, radiation treatments, whatever you're getting, it could go toward your bill and help you.
Well, three rounds of chemo is it's a lot of money.
You know what? I do wish you would back off on the particulars of the treatment. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
The particulars of the treatment.
You're not interested in hearing about it? I mean,
no, it's just that it does kill the momentum of the fact that, hey, pal, look, my name is Arnie Johnson.
Arnie, gotcha.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a welder because we are Genius on Demand, and that's all we're going to give you because you don't deserve any more than that. But that has been Genius on Demand, and my guest has been Matt Oswalt.
And 6 out of 10 men every year are diagnosed with lung cancer, so please get it checked out.
Matt, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. Thanks.
Gonna,
we didn't even scratch the surface, but maybe we'll have part two.
We didn't even talk about the Flyers. What are your predictions of the Flyers-Rangers game tonight?
As a Ranger fan, I've been a Ranger fan now, a New York Ranger fan. I am 55. I started rooting for them seriously when I was about 10. I've watched 45 years of Ranger hockey. I will say most definitely they will lose tonight in Philadelphia.
I've been a Flyers fan all my life, and mm-hmm. I know how they can build you up and let you down. So knowing that they have all the momentum after winning last game, there's mm-hmm. no reason they should not win tonight's game. Mm-hmm. All the more reason why they'll lose.
The Rangers winning. By the way, we're just two fans.
3-2 in overtime. Rangers.
We're just two fans who absolutely have no faith in our fucking
team.
Team.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to Pep Talks this week. Follow our guest, Matt Oswalt, at Puddin Strip. PUDDINSTRIP. Huh?
Isn't today Earth Day?
And today is Earth Day. And Matt today celebrated Earth Day by
tweeting this. This is what Matt tweeted today. Quote, celebrating Earth Day by burning down an entire forest to spare it from being made into Jillian Michaels books. So that's a typical tweet from Matt Oswald. Follow him on at Puddin Strip. Aww. And do me a favor and subscribe to Pep Talks on iTunes.
Yes.
If you're enjoying the show, write a review. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Send me an email at epepitone@yahoo.com. No, epepitone@sbcglobal.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Eddie Pepitone. Find my fan page on Facebook.
Gee, enough already. We get it. We get it. We get it.
Don't break my momentum. What are you going to do? Criticize my flappers gigs?
You have a mailing list now?
Criticize my flappers gigs?
To get on my Christmas card list, please subscribe. What the fuck, dude?
See, this is why. Okay. So let me finish this up. So, you know, subscribe to Pep Talks on iTunes. If you're enjoying the show, write a review. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Send me an email at epepitone@sbcglobal.net. You can follow me on Twitter at Eddie Pepitone. Find my fan page on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to my Jash channel on YouTube. I have new videos coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This has been the Pep Talks. This has been Pep Talks with the Bitter Booter. And we're part of the All Things Comedy Podcast Network, a great network to find all your funniest internet needs. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much.